Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Scripture is filled with instructions and commands from God. He is the ultimate source of all wisdom and knowledge. The book of James instructs us to ask God for wisdom because He gives to all freely and liberally. Are you seeking God's wisdom or following man-made wisdom, driven by hearts that are deceitful above all things? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Seek the truth today." Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 18 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 1 through 8.
Maybe we've become accustomed to ignoring warnings or signs of direction. So let's lighten up for a minute, okay? This is kind of heavy. Let's lighten up for a minute. Let's make it practical. And I use this all the time, so you guys know where I'm headed. At the end of the service, Lord willing, you're going to get in your little jalopy or your car, and you're going to drive out of here. You're going to drive down the street, and you're going to see they're there. Speed limit sign. They're there. So you're going to start driving. You're going to look around. No cop here. No cop there. They're not suggestions. Those are real signs. And see, you and I think that if I speed and don't get caught, it's okay. Is it okay? No. See, but there's this thing in us called the flesh that likes to just push the envelope. You know, yesterday we had a men's day out in Naples, and so I hopped in my sports car, which, by the way, is a 2002 or 2003 Volkswagen. It gets from 0 to 60 in 2 weeks. Man, we were driving out there, and I got to tell you, Ron, I got to tell you, we got out to Naples, out in the Naples area, and I was cooking, man. I'm cooking. I was so proud of this thing. I'm singing, and I'm looking. I actually hit 65. Now, I'm studying for this all week, and I pass a sign that says 55. Well, Raymond, what are you going to do? Ignore it. Well, no cops. It's got to be okay. I don't get a ticket. It's okay. No. So I tapped my little dashboard. Said, okay, now calm down, boy. Calm down. We're going 55. I got there. So many times we ignore the warning, right? And so when God warns us, if we don't get the ticket, see, hits with it. If we don't get the ticket, it's all right. So a little bit of money under the table, little peek here and there on the internet. It's just a little leaven. How much of that lump will it destroy? The whole thing. You see, the world is a lie. You know the world is a lie. It is, isn't it? Can't you tell? The ads. Don't those TV ads drive you up a wall? There I am watching a sporting event. Then they have a shampoo ad. And ladies, they have these shampoo ads, and these girls put this shampoo on, they just wave their hair like that, and it's beautiful. So you know what I do? I figure I'll go buy it. It's not working. It's not working. And then there's these other, they're actually comical. There's this other ad that if I use this one body wash, oh man, alive. I use that body wash when I go out of my house and I go walking into a grocery store. I tell you, the girls are just going to jump off the shelves. They're going to, it ain't happening. Not that I would want it to. I only want one gal jumping off the shelf, and that's my wife. Okay? But it's a lie. And then I love those volleyball commercials. Well, they're not volleyball commercials. They're beer commercials. And they get these guys with these six packs, and they're jumping up and down volleyball, and it's a Bud Light commercial. Wait a minute. Why don't I was there at one time. Why don't they show me 6 hours later over this porcelain thing? Ugh! It's a lie. The world is a lie. Everything about it is a lie. Microsoft works. It's a lie. It doesn't work. It's a lie. Those things can't satisfy. Those things can't fulfill the deepest needs inside of you and me. Now, praise God that some of you guys use body wash. I'm very thankful. You should be thankful that I do. And praise God for, you know, God's blessing. But the world wants us to think that if we're not playing along with them, we're missing out. Listen, you're not missing anything. When Christ redeemed you from the world, he not only saved you from the fires of hell, he did you an awesome favor. He redeemed you from a life of frustration and discouragement and emptiness. It's vain. You know where the real party is? Oh, it's a war. You know where the real party is? In the kingdom of God. You want life and that more abundantly? It's in Jesus Christ. You want a life of peace and of joy and of satisfaction and fulfillment and a whole lot of excitement that you never sign up for? Live for Christ. But the world is a lie. And so here I am. Here you are. We're this walking civil war. You got the flesh, you got the spirit. Who's going to dominate? I'll tell you who will dominate. The one that you feed the most. The one that you feed the most is going to dominate you. If you feed the flesh, you sow to the flesh is going to dominate. Your thinking, your attitudes, the way you make a decision, it's going to dominate you. But if you sow to the spirit, you reap life. You know, there are two menus, only two menus in life that humans can eat off of. One menu is called the flesh, and here's what the flesh is serving today. The works of the flesh are manifest: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, partying, and such like. Imagine going into a restaurant, sitting down, and a waiter comes up to you. Here's the menu. Go, I don't want any of that. Right? Wait a minute. Do you? How about when you're home and you got that thing in your hand? What do you feed on? How about when you put that CD in the... This is probably so outdated now, right? You guys that are techies always laugh at me. At least I'm not saying tape anymore or 8-tracks. So I'm getting there. You put that disc in, or you connect that MP3. What's the message? What's the menu? What are you feeding? Right? Here's the menu we should be eating off of. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. People tell me all the time, I can't stop. I can't stop. You can't stop? Let's go back to the car illustration. You can't stop speeding? Let's just say you're racing down and you think you're getting away with it, and then whoops, there he is in the little back end of a driveway. Isn't it amazing how quickly you go from 55 to 30? I thought you just told me you couldn't stop. The presence of authority caused you to stop, right? We're going to talk about this tonight. People say, well, I can't stop. Oh, yeah? That's a lie. You can. You don't want to stop. So who's going to dominate? Your flesh, your spirit? You feed one of the two. And God says that he's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Now, when he says sow, it doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to plant this seed today. All right, Pastor Ray got me. I'm going to do it this afternoon. Doesn't work. By tomorrow morning, I'm done. Imagine planting a garden, planting a seed for eggplant or what are they, and then you plant it this afternoon, you go out there tomorrow, it's not up yet, forget it. It means keep sowing. Like when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, ask, seek, and knock. The Greek tense is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. In other words, if you want to sow the benefits of walking with Christ, keep sowing to the things of the Spirit. Keep sowing. Keep in the Word. Keep in prayer. Keep in fellowship. Keep abiding in the things of the Lord. Fill your soul, your heart, your mind, your house, post-it notes, music, whatever. Bless yourself. Because you're not going to get it from the world. Right? Gabish? And that's what we are talking about here. Babylon, the world. Now, okay, all right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in Ephesians chapter 5, we read that those who pursue a life that is dominated by the deeds of the flesh will not inherit the kingdom of God. Just read the last few verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 3 through 5. I think it's in Ephesians chapter 5. Those who live after the flesh. Now, listen, time out here. We're redeemed. We're not perfect. We may get dirty for a season. We slip. We fall. But we don't choose to live that way. We don't choose to live after the flesh. There's a huge difference. A sheep can get dirty, like the prodigal son, and be restored. A pig, as in 2 Peter chapter 2, just wallows in the mire, just wallows in the vomit, in the filth of the things of the world. That's not a redeemed individual. Never has been. Okay? Guys, it doesn't matter how many times you and I go to church. It does not matter how much of the Bible we can quote. If our faith consists only of a form of godliness, but you have never experienced a change of heart and a progressive change of affection and behavior towards the things of the Lord, we've deceived ourselves. We're not born again. That's what it says in Ephesians 5. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Jesus said in the parable of the sower that the seed planted in the soil of a good heart will produce a crop 30, 60, and 100-fold with patience. In other words, sanctification that we're going to learn about tonight isn't some kind of magic. You can't order it on eBay. Give me a 16-ounce spray can of sanctification. Psst. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. It's every day waking up to this word. Saying, Lord, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It's daily looking at this word and looking at the menu and knowing that there are people and places and things and situations that you and I do not dare go near. Because we choose to position ourselves in places where we can be filled with the things of the Spirit of God. But why? For a secondary redemptive purpose. The unsaved are trapped in this world. And they need you and me, by God's grace, to be light, to be salt. But if we're no different than them, what's the difference between our Jesus and their Jesus? Nothing. So God calls us not only out of ecclesiastical Babylon, He calls us out of the world. Now, you're going to see in verse 7 and 8, I'm not going to read the verses because of time. But this world system glorified herself, called herself a queen. That's always the harvest of pride and indulging in the flesh. The DNA of all sin is pride. Deception. And pride always will exchange God's glory for self-glory. And her self-delusion of affluent security finds a chilling parallel in the blind self-reliance of the Laodicean church, which, by the way, is the church condition at the time of the rapture. You read Laodicea, it's not a worldwide revival, is it? It's a church that is inflated with pride and self. They say we are rich, we are increased with goods, we don't have a need of anything. And Jesus says, you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And that's the context of Jesus standing outside of 500 Main Street on a Sunday and saying, hello, hello, Koinonia, can I come in there? Remember when it was once all about me and you loving me and you adoring me and you wanting nothing but me and I was your fullness and I was your satisfaction? What's happened? Oh, I know. We've become mature now. We don't need that much of Jesus anymore. You see, it's easy for us to be the proverbial frog in the frying pan, right? Isn't it easy to get trapped? What makes you, what thrills you? What thrills you? Think about it. I've seen guys the last couple of weeks get so thrilled around here. And I've made a connection. It hit me. Football. Yes. Football. It's here. They get so excited, right? You're going to watch the game. You know who's on? We get radical, don't we? We wear our jerseys. We're radical. We read the stats, and we get excited. I used to like this. Monday night prayer meeting or Monday night football. What thrills you? What excites you? Do you remember? God forbid that you should say, I remember a time, Ray, when I used to just love reading the Word and worshiping God. I remember. If you say, I remember, you're backslidden. Can you say today, boy, when I got up and I read the Word of God, it was so wonderful. You say nothing excites me? Yeah, yeah, things excite you. Yeah. Mm-hmm, they do. Even that account in the book of Acts, remember when who was it? The woman who died, remember? And she made the garments. Was it Tabitha? Who was it? Help me out. You know what? Dorcas, right? Remember, you know what? Really intrigued me that when the apostles showed up and they went upstairs, they were crying because, oh, look at the clothes she used to make. She's dead. They're crying over the clothes she used to make. Here's the point, guys. Here's the point. We have been redeemed for a purpose. And we have been redeemed to live in this world without being a part of it. Christ has won the war. We're just part of the cleanup crew. But there is something that can position us far away from the Lord. It's when our hearts and our affections that belong to our King are now given to something or someone that it ought not to belong to. Okay. The Lord says, come out. But then I think of the words of the Song of Solomon. Come out, then come away. You come out of there, and you come away with me. And I'll satisfy you. Jesus spoke to the disciples. He says, I want you to go into all of the region and tell them that there's a banquet that is all set. And invite them to come to the banquet. And you know what happened? One after another began to make excuses that were obviously considered invalid. Benjamin Franklin once said that a man that is good at making excuses is seldom good for anything else. So if God is calling you today to repent, and you to give your heart to Him, and you refuse to do so, that may be your reason, but God says that's a lame excuse. It's invalid. It is inexcusable to deny the call of God. Maybe today you're here and for the first time you're being invited to give your heart to Christ. Remember, to the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus said, take up your cot, take up that mat and walk. Remember, to the man with the withered hand in the synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus has stretched forth your hand. Wait a minute. The guy can't walk and Jesus says, walk. The guy's got a withered hand, he says, stretch it forth. I can't. But when God gives you a command, like he says, come out, if you respond by his grace, he'll do the work in you. You know, the night that I was born again, I didn't know what born again meant. I didn't know any of this stuff. All I knew is that what that guy was saying to me was real. I couldn't explain it all. I couldn't tell you what it meant theologically. All I know is I was there, and when I bowed my knee, Jesus showed up. And I know when I got up, I was a different guy than before I kneeled down. How'd it happen? I don't know, but I know that God works that way. And today, maybe as a believer, there are things, secret things, hidden things. And you know that they've just gotten between you and the Lord. Get it right with him today. When's the best time to get right with the Lord? Always now. When God says repent, he doesn't say in the Amplified Bible in parentheses, or think about it when it's convenient. Do it now. Maybe today is the first day. The exhortation, the command to you would be, give the Lord your heart. Give him your heart. Give him all your heart. That's what the Lord would have for us today. You know, the Lord loves us. And because he loves us, he tells us words that we read in Scripture about the world and the evils and the folly of this world. There is this desire. There is this desire to be set free. Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 7, oh, wretched man that I am, who? Don't you love that? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who? Not what? Who? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Now, I want to share something with you, and I hope that I'm not misunderstood. Doctrine is necessary. Doctrine is important. But we hear a lot of doctrine these days. This, you know, the doctrine of grace or the doctrine of this, and that's wonderful in its context. But beloved, doctrine alone doesn't set you free. You need Jesus. He sets you free. When Jesus was there with the woman at the well, he didn't introduce her to doctrines of grace. He said, come to me. It's a gift. He is the gift. He is the one that sets you free. Isn't that great? The risen, living, sovereign, almighty King. He's the one. You come to him. He's the bread of life. He's the resurrection. He's the living water. He's the great physician. Doctrine explains it, but he gives it. You see the difference? You can have all of this over here. But unless you have Christ, you've got nothing. Donut holes. And it's Christ who saves, and it's Christ who gives to you and me in this world a peace that passes understanding, a joy unspeakable and full of glory, an assurance and a comfort that the world cannot offer. The world is a lie. Christ is the truth. Trust Christ. Bless the
Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.